Drops in the Ocean by Hawk Nelson, mentioning about how deep and how wide is God's mercy and love for us. Katharina Vitti.
Barbara Campbell, good morning.
And this is Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. Thank you for waking up and sharing this Saturday morning with us. And we have some great topics here. We have a bunch of people here, guests that we're going to be talking about forgiveness and suffering and healing, of course. And we have Carol Rubano, who is the founder of Living Waters Catholic Counseling Center on Long Island in Melville. We have Lisa and Father Peter and Barbara, of course, who's my co-host. And the show would not be what it is without her and Father Peter and just all the love and support. So thank you again.
Thank you. Just a reminder that this is your station. It's a Long Island station. It's a Catholic Long Island station. We would like to hear your stories. And we're always excited for you to give us feedback about what's happening, what your ideas are. We also would like to mention the coffee house. I'm going to let Father Peter talk about that. That's a very big thing that's happening.
Right at St. Francis now. Months or so, we've opened up the Starfish Coffee House. Starfish being the title because it's that wonderful story about the old man throwing the starfish back in and giving them a second chance. And so every one of us is in need of a second chance. That's another way of talking about forgiveness. A person who forgives you gives you a second chance. So the Starfish Coffee House fits right in to the dynamics of forgiveness and our own Christian identity and our following of Christ. And I know we're going to hear a lot more about that. Think about the coffee house. If you're a young adult or you feel young, think about the coffee house.
And Father, what time is it? When is it?
Usually we're open on Fridays. This is Thursday this week. We have a wonderful live artist with us on the guitar, and we hope you'll join us at 7 o'clock this Thursday right at St. Francis in Greenlawn. It's in the rectory basement, okay? It's a groovy place for a coffee house.
Is it Thursday and Friday this week?
No,
or
just Thursday, I believe.
Thursday. Okay, great. So, and do you have guest speakers coming?
That's what we have. We have live music this Thursday night.
But then you'll have some.
Following that, on the other Fridays, we're having witness talks. And young adults sharing their journey. And when you call it a witness talk, it sounds a little too formalistic. It's people sharing their journey, and that's really what makes it so great. The last couple of times it was just really amazing. The young adults got talking, and they just talked up a storm. Okay, they just walked up a storm. They were so happy to find a place where they could gather, and it was just a great evening.
And I heard you ordered pizza for everybody.
Pizza too. That's right. That there's a little break. Everybody gets more friendly when you smell pizza. You know, just like Jesus grilled the fish on the shore of the lake, and the smell of that fucking fish. The disciples, so the pizza relaxed everybody, and the show went on even, and the discussion went on even further.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a match.com, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that sounds exciting, Barbara. Match.com for young adults?
Yeah. What do you think, Katarina? You want to say something about that?
No, I'm just thinking, are you suggesting that we could find a future spouse? Or
somebody, yeah.
that sounds really exciting.
Or at least friends to hang around with who believe the same thing you believe.
Oh, that. Right? Now there's something. Yeah. There's something great.
That's definitely comforting. And we were just mentioning to Lisa that she might want to check it out with her boyfriend. It's a lot of fun and very relaxing.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing what it is like, and because I've done things like that before, and it's always enjoying to have company and, you know, be around people that believe the same thing you do. So I'm excited to check it out.
I guess that's hard to find.
Yeah, it is hard to find. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lisa, do you have a special story for us today?
I don't know. I guess we'll see.
With the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit inspires, but... how about we... let's turn it over to Carol, who's going to be mentioning about forgiveness and suffering.
And can you tell us about Living Waters a little bit?
Oh, I'd love to tell you about Living Waters, Barbara. That's my second name. No. Living Waters Catholic Counseling Center was started in the year 2000, the beginning of this millennium. And it was started because I think the Lord was telling me to use my clinical skills. I'm a social worker. And also bring faith into it, bring the Catholic faith into it. Because as I was training and as I went through my own development as a clinician, I saw people who were really floundering, and one of the reasons they were floundering had to do with a underdeveloped sense of spirituality, an underdeveloped sense of God, an underdeveloped sense of faith. So the Lord brought it to me to start Living Waters Counseling Center, which is located at 175 Wolf Hill Road in Melville, at the on the property of St. Francis Church.
Sorry. Coffee house is on St. Francis.
It's true.
Yeah, right. Near St. Anthony's High School, so you know the one, you know the other. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm being prophetic that maybe it'll expand.
That would be great.
So anyway, thank you, Father. I didn't think of that. So anyway, we're located there, and we're a full-service community that has about 8 other therapists on staff now, a spiritual direction. And because of the great need, there was a not-for-profit was started. Living Waters Never Go Thirsty was started. And later on, I'll tell you more about that. And in Living Waters Never Go Thirsty is for people who do not have enough funds or insurance to take care of their needs. We try to help people of all faiths or no faith. So you can contact us at 631-754-3990 or on the website livingwaterscounseling.biz.
And if you need anything, if you want to contact us as well here, if you want to call in or text in during the show today as well, our call-in number is 631-888-8811. Our text-in number is 516-784-6081. And we could give you more information about Living Waters.
Thank you very much, Katarina.
Oh, no problem. Had to add that in. So how, Carol, does spirituality, the faith, in your experience, how does it help your clients and people through the counseling process? you felt that the Lord was putting it on your heart? And do you see a tremendous difference compared to other types of what you were practicing before? How is it bear fruit?
Okay. Well, when I was practicing before, I was always doing things under the radar, because in the secular community, you really can't mention God unless you talk about a higher power in a 12-step program. That's not part of the secular community. So before, I was doing it under the radar, but now I'm right out there. And I'm not the one that can evaluate that as much as the people coming to me who tell me there's a great difference when you include, if they're open to it, not everybody's open to it, but if they include God in the dynamic. And then some people will also include, and we work with that, wherever a person's at, we work with them. We will include, besides God, like use their Catholic faith, a more developed understanding of their Catholic faith to understand God. And that flips into really the idea of forgiveness. Because so often the world tells you, you know, you have to get revenge, or you have to hold on to the hatred, or you have to really, really get back, get even. You were really hurt. There was a lot of suffering. And oftentimes clinicians will hear that in their sessions with a counselor, just as anyone in the helping field hears all the pain and suffering that people go through and how they could use some, they want to get to the place. Some people do not want to get to the place of forgiveness, but some do. And Lisa will read some from a book about why forgive, and the foreword is by Stephen McDonald, who was the officer who was shot in Central Park and then lived his life, you know, as a quadriplegic on not life supports, but with breathing apparatus and everything else for years and years. He recently went to the Lord. But Lisa will read some of the different kinds of situations where forgiveness is necessary.
In Why Forgive, Arnold lets the untidy experiences of ordinary people seek for themselves people who have earned the right to talk about forgiving. Hashim was shot on a street corner and paralyzed for life. Carol's husband committed adultery. Delf backed a pickup truck over his one-year-old son. Joseph escaped the Holocaust. Kate was abused by her alcoholic mother. Bill's son was killed by a drunk driver. Marietta's daughter was kidnapped and murdered. Tragedy struck them all full force, but they refused to remain its victims.
And that's what forgiveness is about, because really, if we don't forgive, we're holding on to the bitterness. Forgiveness is for the other person, but it's mostly for us. Because if we don't forgive, we are not releasing or cutting out the malignant tumor for our inner lives. When you forgive, you set the prisoner free. And basically, this is hard, but the prisoner is you. The prisoner is you. So What does forgiveness mean? If we look up the word forgiveness, what it means is pardon, absolution, exoneration, dispensation, clemency, mercy, reprieve, and amnesty. Those are some of the definitions, other words that are used for the word forgiveness. And I think the Lord speaks about forgiveness all the time. Right, Katerina?
Yeah, I was just thinking about this past Sunday's, or I think it was about 2 weeks ago, I forget what it was, when there's the king that has some servants, and one of the servants wasn't able to pay. He had a big debt, and the king summoned him before him, and he said, "Oh, pay what you owe." And the servant pleaded with the king and really begged him, saying, "Please, give me some time, have mercy on me, and I'll pay you back what is due." And then the king was very moved and released him instead of selling him and his children into slavery, and like getting back what he was due in that sense. So I just thought of that, and then how in that story the servant saw his friend or another servant who owed him a smaller amount, and he was not as merciful and not as kind to his other servant friend who owed him a smaller amount. And he was like, no, he said, the friend said, oh, have mercy on me, I'll pay you back what is due. And the servant said no, and his friend, he was like choking his friend, or it was very very descriptive in that story. And word of that got to the king, and the king got very angry, and he said, I had mercy on you, and that's, you know, that's how you treat somebody else. And then that servant was sent to the torturers, I think, and is not such a good ending, but I think it's a good example for us how God has so much mercy on us, and we forget that a lot mm-hmm. of times, and how easy God forgives us. And and you know,
I'm thinking of Brother Paul last Saturday.
Mm-hmm,
Paul Miller was Living Waters sponsored him. We had him come for a day of healing last Saturday, and the one thing he said that really stood out to me was that we need to pray to have mercy for one another. And I think that we forget that. You know, we always pray and accept and thank God for his mercy and count on his mercy, and we've got his mercy. What we really need, and what the really divine mercy is all about at the core, is mercy for one another. And I think that is what I see is so lacking in so many of our lives. Like we really hold people, you know, I often think to myself, wow, I hope that person isn't at my judgment.
Oh.
Right.
But you know, there are a lot of different scenarios that make it, you know, we can hide behind certain things. One of the things is the phrase tough love. You know, I've got to have tough love, otherwise we're gonna lose out here. But forgiveness and tough love sometimes don't mix, you know. And I mean, the tough love, I've got a right to you know, be harsh with this person, or that because, or I have to be for the sake of certain standards and so forth. So we really need to examine ourselves and see are we you know, finding clever expressions, clever psychological terminology and so forth to mask what is anger and an incompleted forgiveness of a particular person. I think that's important.
Your mic. Okay, so I know that is a psychological kind of thing, a tough love. And oftentimes tough love is said because tough love is about trying to allow the other person to suffer the consequences of their behavior. I think oftentimes suffering goes into this tough love or reasons to forgive. I know in my own life it's hard to forgive at times because the forgiveness has to do with how I suffered because of that person's actions, right? And if I'm suffering, it really is because I had to endure the pain or the distress of someone else's actions, which is really what Jesus is talking about by dying on the cross for us, enduring it. He didn't do anything. Somebody else did it. So we forgive when we need to forgive when someone else causes us this suffering and this pain. Sometimes it could be real, but sometimes it's not even real. It's not even real because the way we're seeing it is not necessarily the way the person is sending it. But some of the examples that Lisa read, they're tough. And I think in my own life, I don't know about you guys, but in my own life, I had examples where, you know, I was really hurt by people, really hurt, legitimately hurt, devastated, either emotionally, spiritually, sometimes even on a material level, financially, you know, or, you know, a lot of times it's when people say things and they don't even know what those things could bring about to the larger community. It's very difficult. So does anybody have examples of how in their own lives that they're willing to share about when they needed to forgive someone?
Yeah, well, I think that I actually have an example from a young man I've been working with. It just kind of comes to mind. Yesterday I was with him, and he's a young father, and he had a very devastating situation in his marriage where suddenly what he thought was a wonderful, great relationship of 17 years, suddenly everything changed, and his wife left, and she was with somebody else, and he had no idea that there was anything going on up until that moment when she actually walked out the door. So when he came, he was very devastated. And I guess I'm using this as an example because just to mention that we have, when we forgive, we have to keep in mind, as Carol was saying, that it's a process, that, you know, it's a step-by-step kind of thing. You can't just suddenly forgive. It just doesn't happen like that. It doesn't go according to our nature, and grace builds on nature. Anyway, I was talking to him yesterday. I've been talking to him for about 2 years. And, you know, he's basically had to take care of his basic needs, which was to make sure his child was safe and his situation was safe in his home. And, you know, it's kind of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Like, he needed to take care of basic things first. So I said to him, okay, so if I had said to you the first day you came and you told me this very, very tearing story, if I had said to you, okay, so now you need to forgive your wife, what would you have done? And I kind of knew the answer, but he said it. He said, well, you wouldn't have seen me again. And, you know, I think that's really important. We have to be so gentle with this idea of forgiveness, because when a person is in the midst of that moment, they really want to be heard more than anything. And we can shortcut that. You know, we can shut people down by saying, oh, yeah, no, I know, same thing happened to me. You just have to forgive them. And as Christians and Catholics, sometimes I think we go there too quickly. What do you think, Carol?
Oh, I know we go there too quickly. I know in my own life, if at different moments in time you had said to me, you need to forgive them, I couldn't do it at that moment, and I would feel defeated, and I'd feel like a loser because I couldn't do that. So I think it's very important to really understand that it's a process. I always had in mind, yeah, eventually I'll forgive them, mm-hmm. but I couldn't do it because on a human level, the hurt was so great about what happened mm-hmm. to me that I really couldn't do it. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
It's really amazing, though. It's all God's grace, though. This is the whole thing. The story is not as famous now as it was a number of years ago because the people are either deceased or moved on. But you know, there was a circumstance in the parish where you know, a young man was driving his pickup truck drunk and hit the small toddler who was broke loose in the street. Mm-hmm. Okay, and of course, what was noteworthy about it is the toddler was killed. What was noteworthy about it is that when the mothers arrived at the scene, the mother of the guy behind the wheel and the mother of the child, it ended up being the mother of the deceased, the killed child, who comforted the mother of who was hysterical because her son had was drunk.
That's
and
remarkable.
Had committed that she was able to comfort. And I mean, I'm not saying they became lifelong friends, but they did. The one did intervene in the life of the other several times to assure her that she had been forgiven, and that, you know, life would go on. And praise God that her son still had more chances to turn his life around. So it was a well-known story in the parish, you know. And I just think it bears mentioning right now, okay? Because really, by the grace of God, we can do things we don't think we can do. And you know, that's so. And that's, if you're, like I say, if your counseling is open ended to God, which is sometimes it's hard to keep it open ended because God's a God of miracles, you know, as He's not a God of our plans, He's a God of His plans, but they're all good and they're all miraculous. So let's be open, okay, mm-hmm. to the grace of God.
Lisa, have you had experiences of forgiveness that you'd like to share?
One time I was a little girl, and you know, my family, I loved my dad. He was everything to me. And in fourth grade, he had an affair with another lady, you know, out of the marriage of my mom, and she told me, you know, Dad is with another female, and I got really hurt. I got so angry that he would do that to my family and to my mom, and but he came back into our family. He left the woman. My mom prayed and fasted, and he came back, and he said he was sorry. So I forgave him.
Did you forgive him before he came back?
No. It took a long time.
To
I
forgive?
Was angry.
Even when he came back?
Yes.
It took a long time?
Yes.
So what was your God moment?
Well, all the little things that he would do for me. Like he would start my car in the morning. He would ask me if I needed to be made breakfast. He would put my clothes in the dryer. All, you know, acts of kindness.
Practical
yeah,
acts.
Practical things. And I'm like, he's such a good guy. You know, like he's not a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
He just made a mistake.
Yeah.
And he would always be, you know, friendly with me, always asking, oh, you want to do this? You want to do that? And that's when, you know.
It started to soften your heart?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the backstory is so important with everybody because we don't know the backstory so often, you know, and there always is one. And I know that what helps me the most is I was having a hard time forgiving at one point in my life, and the Lord said to me, I remember exactly, you know how you have those God moments
yes,
and
you
remember
do.
Exactly
like
where you...
like a real instant,
a miracle moment,
actually.
Yeah, and you remember the exact place you were. I was walking through the parking lot of the church, and I really hadn't been thinking about it in church or praying about it. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I felt the Holy Spirit was saying to me, so what's your version of what that person did? And it stopped me in my tracks. And I was like, wow, what is my version of what that person did to me? And that's helped me every time I get stuck with unforgiveness. I think about, you know.
What do you mean by that, Barbara? What?
My version. In other words, what this actually involved somebody who it was a friend I had that I felt very badly. She had had an abortion, and I was judging her, and I felt badly that she didn't come to me and ask me to, you know, to talk to me about it or even ask me about it in any way. And when she was a close friend, and I just couldn't understand that because I thought we both were coming from the same place and all that kind of stuff. But when it happened, so I was having a hard time, like, not judging her, you know, forgiving her. But when the Lord said to me, well, what about your version? What I realized was he was asking me, what are the ways that you don't choose life, given all your stuff that you've had and all the graces you've had in life? What are the ways that you don't choose life? And all of a sudden that hit me like, wow. So I kind of like go back to that concept whenever I have a struggle forgiving. I think, okay, so how do I do this kind of thing? How could I have committed this kind of a offense against somebody in the past? And believe me, the Holy Spirit, you can count on him to let you know in a nice way, but he does let you know, right,
that's
Father?
Right, absolutely. He does let you know. He taps you on the shoulder, that's for sure. So my own namesake, you know, Peter was very curious. How many times must I forgive my brother, Lord? Seven times, you know. The seven was the perfect number. And then, of course, then it's debated. Did Jesus say seven times seven or 70 times seven times? Or, in other words, we're not supposed to be counting, you know. Peter was looking, okay, this is number six. I've forgiven you. I forgive you once more, then I'm going to bust you right in the nose. You know, you could see the big fisherman there, you know, saying, now finally I'm through with this exercising of forgiveness and all this other stuff. Now I'm ready to give him what for, you know. And but so Jesus had to, so really the dynamic of forgiveness is and mercy keeps going on.
I felt truly inspired by Father's story with the mothers. I felt it in my heart today, so thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
It's so remarkable.
Sure.
And I have a question for Barbara and for everybody, really. I know you mentioned before that forgiving one another is the most challenging thing, that it's easier to accept God's mercy because he's God, and even that's a challenge too. But how can we forgive others? You know, what is the steps? What are the practical ways to guide us in helping with this
That's a great question, Katarina, mm-hmm. because it is a practical process. And I'm just going to say what I think is the first step and see what Carol thinks about that, since we both are involved in this kind of counseling constantly. For me, the first step is to forgive ourselves. I don't think we can forgive anyone until we forgive ourselves. I think that's the very first step, to understand what forgiving ourselves means. And I believe we can only forgive in proportion to how much we've forgiven ourselves. And that reminder has to be constant, that the Lord not only forgives us but forgets everything. He wants to forget it, you know, but we won't forget it. And that's our ego. And you know what we're doing? We're robbing him of the nobility of his cross when we do that. We keep him from really being the Savior. You know, he went through a horrific passion and death to save us from ourselves, to say that we are forgiven, and yet we still want to keep putting us back there. And I think there's a lot of dynamics, I'm sure Carol will agree, that makes us want to stay there in that unforgiving of ourself place. It's kind of a comfortable place, right, Carol, would you say?
Well, for some people it is, because, and I think you're right on target, Barbara, we have to forgive ourselves. But most people, many people, I shouldn't say most, there are a lot of people that would rather point the finger on the other person than look at self. Father Peter can attest to that. I mean, the lines at the confessional are not that long these days, are they?
No.
And yet the 12 steps always talks about, like, the fourth step, taking a fourth step with someone and turning it over to a higher power, right? They're always talking about looking at self, right? And basically, there people in the 12-step program almost have what I call an examination of conscience, right. But they have to look at every day how they've been disrespectful, how they've been not honest, how they've been resentful, how they've been angry. That's an examination of conscience. But
moral inventory.
A moral inventory, right. Absolutely. And how many of us in this day and age do that? I don't know. I'm not judging. I don't know if I do it every night myself. But as you were saying, Barbie, you have to look at self. And some people decide, because they feel so inadequate, they feel so broken, they don't want to look at selves because they don't want to change, neither. They do not want to change. They're comfortable in where they are. And they'd rather, if you put it out to someone else and say, this person did this, this, and this to me, well, of course, you keep the focus there. You don't have time to focus on yourself because you have to earn a living. You have to do everything else. I mean, it's a lot easier to say that person is terrible, awful, and everything. But it's really, we're asking people to go to an amazing place of understanding of God.
Yes.
In this. And that's not the usual out there. If that was the usual, we wouldn't even have wars on a global level, neither. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd understand. But for me, going back to Katarina's
question,
and then I'd like to hear from the rest of you what your answers would be. For me, the process would be to begin to understand why the person did that. For me, being who I am, I have to understand what made that person do that. Like, what was going on in that person's life that they needed to, hurt me, because they did hurt me. But I don't think it's all about me, very honestly. I think I was caught up in the collateral damage of being hurt. It had nothing to do with me. I mean, when Lisa shared her story, it had nothing to do with her. It had to do all with him. And in the people in my life, and there have been quite a lot, I would say, who have hurt me, but that's because they were them, not because I was me. And I just happened to be standing in the way and part of their circle, their circle of where that, like, went out to, like jumping in the water, right? If you jump into the water, there's going to be like a ripple effect all around you.
Well, these people were involved in, they were jumping in the water, their own self, and then I was caught in that effect of that water splattering all over the place. But in my egocentricity, I believed it had to do with me.
Right, right.
Yeah, so often I think that's why Paul warns us not to take offense, because the minute we take offense, we walk into Satan's trap. That's really a demonic trap to take offense, because that starts a whole bunch of things snowballing down the hill, and then we can't be present to what the Lord wants us present to, because we're so putting so much energy into unforgiveness and feeling hurt and wondering why they would ever treat us like that and how could they, and we're such good people and we try to be nice and all the stuff that you go through perseverating constantly about why this person did this. And I guess what we're saying is that you have to get to that place where almost like you just want to, you don't, do you think maybe you get to that place where you don't care after a while? You have to be like, okay, you know what, I don't really have closure about this, but whatever it was, it doesn't really have to do with me.
Well, I don't know if you don't, you see it on a rational level in a different way. And then, of course, the thinking causes the feeling, right? And then God's grace, as Father Peter said, has, and you've often said, it has to be supernatural grace.
Yeah.
Supernatural grace that has to go in there. And, of course, the sacraments are the things in the Catholic faith that open you up to that supernatural grace, right?
It's kind of like a detachment, right? Like a holy
whole
detachment.
Whole detachment. Oh, yeah. Like the 12 steps. It's all, as a matter of fact, and I don't want to hog the show neither, but I do have something from, I was very excited because this morning I was reading, I get the morning offering on the phone, mm-hmm. and I was reading the day. And on the phone, there's a Father Jean-Pierre de Crusade, who wrote Abandonment to Divine Providence,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yes.
And he said, the soul that does not attach itself solely to the will of God. So instead of attaching ourselves to the world, attach it to the will of God will find neither satisfaction nor sanctification in any other means, however excellent, by which it may attempt to gain it. So in other words, if we don't detach, and that's what suffering is about, actually, detaching. Because when we suffer, we're losing something.
Yes.
So when we're losing something, what happens is we have to see how are we going to fill that space. And that space is filled by God. God is the only person.
Amen.
To fill that space, right?
That's right.
So if that which God himself chooses for you does not content you, so everything that happens in our lives, not that God causes it, it could be because someone else is bringing his suffering into our lives, but God allowed it to happen, right? So it's there. From if that which God himself chooses for you does not content you, from whom do you expect to obtain what you desire? No soul can be really nourished, fortified, purified, enriched, and sanctified except in fulfilling the duties of the present moment. And here we are in the present moment. We have to let go of the past, right? You know, yeah, maybe we don't forget it, but it cannot have that emotional attachment that it did when it happened. So how has that happened in either anybody's life?
Can I just say something about that present moment thing?
Yeah.
I think that is the key to being in the Lord's will. Right? Because he's in the present moment. He's not in the past and he's not in the future yet. And God doesn't know time. So the present moment is the past and the future and the now. But I think that when we are tempted to not forgive ourselves and to think about the things that we've done in the past or start beating ourselves up, I think what would be so helpful is to jump back to the present moment and say, wait a minute, that's not happening now. Where am I with the Lord now? You know, I'm not the person, none of us are going to leave this radio station being the same people we were when we came in. Nobody who's listening will be the same person after the radio show. We're constantly, you know, being transformed and honed and informed by God's mercy, I think, right? As far as the day,
that helps
the day.
Us. That helps us, I think, to forgive ourselves when we understand, like, that thought process that you were saying out loud, we're not the same that we used to be. Mm-hmm.
And I think that helps us to forgive ourselves. And actually, that ties in really well with a scripture that we have two pieces of scripture here, but it ties in really well with what 2 Corinthians, I believe it's St. Paul, says that chapter 5, let's see, chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is a famous one. So whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And it's interesting, the lines right after that is about forgiveness. And it says, and all this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, as if God were appealing through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And I thought that fit in well with
forgiveness.
You know, we start the Mass every time with calling to mind our sins, and sometimes people say, is that the little negative psychology? We come to worship, and then right away at the beginning of the Mass. You know, right away at the beginning of the Mass, we have to call to mind our sins. You know, who wants to be getting down in the dumps right at the very beginning? Do we ever get out of the dumps? You know, but yet on the other hand, you know, it's necessary. Forgiveness is really a part of the core message. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And the citizens of the kingdom have got to learn mercy, and so the way to do it is to experience God's mercy for ourselves, and then move on to the other one. So, one of the things is the priest is always tempted to move on quickly, you know, and not give the people too much time, because he's struggling himself to not to be overwhelmed with some of the things he's sorry for, you know, right at that point, you know. So it's sometimes we priests should give a little extra moment of silence for the people to get in touch with a few things. So it's one of our faults or little peccadilloes that we don't sometimes give them enough time to call to mind the sins they need to. But then we move forward. John Paul II was a big one for that. I don't know if you noticed, if you watch some of the videos of his masses, when he had called to mind us, he stayed a full minute, you know, with his head bowed down, and people were saying, come on, you're probably saying to themselves, come on, Holy Father, let's move it along. I've done enough getting in touch with my sins. I got to move on to something else, because you know, we're anxious. We want to fill our moments with activity rather than letting the Lord speak to us. You see?
So can I ask you something, Father Peter? What do you tell people in confession when they say to you that they can't forgive?
Well, I guess the bottom line is you try to find out is there's at least a willingness to try, you know, and then, you try to give them the benefit of that. Well, are you working on it? Are you partially forgiving them? You know what I mean? Are we looking forward to the day we can forgive them? You know, you want to give them absolution because you don't want to send them away, you know, with nothing, empty-handed. You want to pour God's grace upon them through the sacrament as best you can. So I try to get them around to say, do you want to want to? Do you want to want to want to? You know what I mean? And then let's see what we get. You know, every once in a while, in a great moment, you know, you'll have to risk, you know, that they didn't know what to say. But most of the time, people say, I want to, but I'm numb or I'm hurt. And I say, well, that doesn't mean you're not forgiving. Because remember, forgiving is a decision. It's not a feeling. You know, you don't have the feeling of reconciliation. You don't have the feeling of peace and harmony with the person, but you're choosing to forgive them. So have you chosen to want to forgive them? Are you asking the Lord to help you look forward to the day when you will forgive them? So I try to put it in a lot of different ways. When I get some response that I feel, well, like they're on the way, let's absolve them, you know.
I want to ask Lisa something about that too, Father. when one of my famous a famous author that I love is Joyce Myers. I don't know if you know her. Do you? You like her?
I do.
Good. And she has a way of saying, and I think she wrote a book about it, do yourself a favor and forgive, which I think is so much a part of our discussion here, because we're really putting ourselves in prison and we're continuing the power, allowing the power of the person that hurt us to keep hurting us when we don't forgive. And I think once you get that, it's an exciting moment. But how did you feel when you were able to forgive? Did your life change interiorly for you? We're just moving mics around here. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, that's better.
Okay. It was like a load of bricks just coming right off your back.
Wow.
You know?
That's beautiful.
Thanks.
Wow.
Yeah, because when you hold on to that anger, you're just hunched over. You know, you're so down in the dumps, you know, and everything anybody says can offend you. You know, God tells us to be offended of nothing, you know, and when you get offended, you get upset, and it feels so much better, because then we have the opportunity to make things right again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you felt better about yourself, Lisa?
Yeah. Because I was being angry. I was being mean to my dad.
Yes, right.
I was being mean to him. No, right. Why'd you do that? You know, over him being nice to me. He's like, all right, I won't do it anymore. But I would be angry.
You wouldn't accept what he was
right,
doing.
Right, exactly.
The positive stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. One morning when he did start my car, I started it again. So I was very angry because that's losing gas, you know, when you don't have to start the car twice, you know, to warm it up in the morning when it's, you know, below zero outside. So, but he just let it go. You know, I think because he forgave himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to be kind. I think he let it go. You
wow,
know.
Wow, and that was that's a pretty big testimony too.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, did you ever? You're a young person. Have you witnessed to others? I'm sure you've met a lot of people who don't like forgiving, or aren't into it, and actually feel like the world is saying, you know. I'm sorry to say this, but I think, even in therapy, many times counselors will say, you know, just shake that person, shake that dust off and move on. And it doesn't, we're not suggesting you have to have a continuous relationship with the person you forgive, but a lot of times there's a different message there, you know, in just secular counseling sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of more about let's, you know, just move on and don't worry about it, and it'll all work itself out maybe eventually, but you don't have to deal with the forgiving part. So do you talk to people about that? Do you witness sometimes in your own life?
You know, maybe with my sister.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I've witnessed her forgiving people. Is that what you mean?
Do you share how...
Oh, do I share?
How you were freed up through it.
I keep my personal life very personal.
Okay, so here's why you have to think about it in a different way right now, because I think, and Katerina, you're young, a young person. I think so much of what's going on now in our world is about, it's all about me. And I think that we need young people to talk to other young people about the amazing benefit, really the health benefits. Let's start there. Of
right.
forgiving. You know, we're all so worried about everything.
Do you want me to share an example of you're asking how I've forgiven
I'm
somebody?
Putting out really a call to young people as yourselves to really share with your generation the benefits of forgiving and what it does for you.
And I don't think it necessarily has to be so personal, neither. Just in general, the benefits.
Exactly.
You know, you don't have to tell your story or anything,
right?
Especially
right.
on the air, but just in general. We don't need the whole world to know, you know, like that's not what this is about. But in general, how that has been very, very helpful to you.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, lately, the part about not taking offense quickly, I think sometimes is overlooked, and I think that could be a key in just taking that second just to kind of breathe or just say, okay, not like absorbing like the hurt or it's a big temptation though. I mean, we all probably fall into it and get angry right away and, you know, start thinking about, oh, like what this person did to me. Instead of, I like what Barbara said about not taking offense, and it's for our good. Maybe that person just kind of said something or wasn't even directing it to you, like what Carol said, and or we were just in that kind of effect. So I guess it's that combination of not taking offense and not thinking about ourselves, and then it's the combination of thinking about the other person and thinking, okay, like being understanding, okay, maybe that person's going through a rough day. And then it's also, we gotta bring God into it too and say, okay, God, help me to forgive, or you know how this person really hurt me, just help me a little bit, and then maybe think about other things or, you know, go about your day. But mm-hmm. I guess when those thoughts come up, mm-hmm. like a thought of that somebody hurt me like last year or recently or whatever, I guess you could say, Lord, help me to forgive, even though right now my feelings are really hurt and it's really hard right now.
You can almost say that there's pain both ways. Yeah. If you don't forgive, there's pain, and if you do forgive, there's pain. So which pain do you want? Do you want the pain that's devastating and destructive of not forgiving, or the pain of really, to use an old expression, tying to yourself and putting yourself, you know, really, by putting yourself first, you're really putting yourself last?
I guess the pain of forgiving, I guess you could think maybe long-term that eventually that pain is not going to be as strong, or it's not going to be there, because at one point maybe you haven't totally forgiven that person, but that pain is going to be less sharp. It's going to be like in time, like that healing is going to occur. So even in that moment, it's really hard to forgive. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we think about it in the long term, how like forgiveness really can help us in the future. We think, but not forgiving is always going to be there. It's always going to be that burden that you're carrying all the time.
And you got to forgive God too. That's the other one. You know, that's a big one. You got to forgive God too. Jesus says a couple of things after John the Baptist is in prison. Okay, he's sending his men to find out if Jesus really is the Christ, the Messiah, or not. Jesus says, "Look at what's happening. The blind are recovering their sight. Lepers, and you know the." And then, you know, even dead men are being raised from the dead. The poor have the gospel preached to them. The one thing he omits from the prophecy of Isaiah, prisoners are set free. And who's the most famous prisoner in the whole kingdom? John the Baptist, okay? And Jesus conveniently neglects to put that as a sign of the coming of the Messiah. Then he adds, blessed is he who finds no scandal in me or no stumbling block in me. So we got to forgive God because he didn't seem to make us a priority. You know, he blessed a lot of other people in this way, and all of a sudden we got holding a bag of trouble. You know what I mean? A bag of trouble. And, you know, we you know, or like Martha, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Well, Jesus intends to work a resurrection miracle, not just heal a sick person. So it's going to be even a bigger thing. So if God delays his activity, let's just continue to know and to believe that even better things are to come, okay, rather than to take offense at God. And I think hopefully those little stories tie together for you. The words, some say scandal, some say stumbling block. It's the Greek word, can mean either one. It's an interesting thing.
I love that.
I was a little confused with the first example. The second example helped me a little bit more. So, Father, you were mentioning that we have to trust God in the good and in the bad times.
Jesus omitted the fact that a sign of the coming of the Messiah would be that prisoners are set free. And John is not going to be set free. He's going to suffer a martyr's death. You see, that's what it is. So John has to reconcile himself to the plans of God for him. But they are great plans. Then of course, Jesus goes on to praise John the Baptist and so forth, which is balances the whole thing out. He's not just casting him aside. He then shows what an important role he plays in the kingdom.
In other words, John would have liked if he had said, you know, John's going to be set free.
Yeah.
Because I'm the Savior. Tell John he's good.
Uh-huh.
You know,
okay.
Yeah.
Tell John we've got his back and he's going to be out of there in a few weeks. You know, Jesus didn't say that, no.
Well, so what you're saying is looking at it from a different perspective, not the human perspective,
right,
but looking at it in the long term.
Right.
What John is about for his life is eternal salvation.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. That's
and this
right.
is the thing that would bring him to eternal salvation.
That's right.
Even though when we look, like I look through my glasses at something, I want to see it from the human concrete way of seeing it. Huh?
All right. Sure.
Yeah. So can you kind of summarize for us, Carol, what we learned today?
Well, summarize. Mm. If forgiveness is for us.
Okay.
It's not for the other person. The other person set free, but as Lisa so wisely said, we're set more free than them. The Lord wants us to forgive because he calls us to forgiveness. Our Father, that's a universal prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's a very important part of what's going on, and it's about mercy. And the more merciful we can be to someone else, the more merciful we can be to ourselves then. So what comes first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know. But as Father Peter said, it's about making a decision. It's not, we are so caught up in feelings as humans, but feelings are not who we are. Feelings come and feelings go. They're neither right nor wrong. But we're not the feeling. We are what we decide to do. Pray the gospel and sometimes use words, right? Pray the gospel. And suffering's a great part of it.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I just wanted to say, and you can forgive to those out there who are listening and are doubting if we can forgive. You can forgive. God has given us the grace to forgive.
It's a supernatural grace, though, so we can't.
Not
you know,
on our own.
Right.
But yes.
Reading self-help books isn't necessarily going to help you forgive, but asking God for the grace to forgive and maybe reading a self-help book will help you get to that point.
Yes, always asking God for that strength. And with that, thank you so much, Carol. God bless you all. Thank you for listening
and
for coming. Yeah,
thank you.
Lisa and
that
Father
was great
Peter.
What you shared. Thank you.
Have a great weekend. Bye bye. Listen.
Our Father who art in heaven, holy be. Who art in heaven, holy, holy, holy be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth, thy will be done on earth. Thy kingdom come on earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. This day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our trespasses. Our Father who art in heaven, holy, holy, holy be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, holy thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth.